Dating Alive with Rita Steele, thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners.
Surprise! We've got Tina and Megan from the Titirangi Protection Group rather than Rita tonight. Welcome to the BFM studios. Rita has introduced you to us and brought to light an issue which I didn't know about. I didn't know that Waterkia were upgrading what I suppose is one of their main water treatment plants in Auckland, for Auckland's water supply.
It supplies 20% of Auckland's water supply, up to 20% at the moment.
And so this is, they've got an aging water care, whatever it is, system out there. A treatment plant.
That doesn't sound official, John.
From 1927.
Yeah.
That they want to upgrade.
Yeah.
And this is causing some concern for you guys?
It is. So our group formed in 2017 when we found out that Waterkia were planning to not upgrading their existing plant but build a whole new plant next door. And one of the proposed sites was a beautiful piece of bush with Clark Bush track through it that many locals thought was regional park. And it's home of some huge kauri. And we were just shocked, really, when it all came out. And it's been through all sorts of processes, and now we're at the pointy end of our Resource Management Act submissions.
So the site which you're referring to, it is owned by Waterkia, but everyone has thought it was a park in the meantime?
Yeah, so it was designated for water supply services about 40 years ago.
Yes.
But it's got a public track through it and wasn't on limbs or anything to show that it was going to be potentially all bulldozed. There's lots of beautiful kauri there. We care, Tina and I care deeply for kauri, and we've been involved in saving Awhi Awhi, the Pātaroa kauri just down the road from the site, and that was quite a shock to us in 2019. We can be having to oppose the cutting down of healthy kauri when you know, that just in such a perilous position.
Is there an obvious, less drastic alternative that is up someone's sleeve?
So there are a number of alternatives that don't involve cutting as many trees down or putting people out of their homes. And we think engineers are real clever people, and that's why they get paid the big bucks, is to come up with something creative and work out a better plan that will be better for Auckland and what Aucklanders expect in their infrastructure, to be socially responsible.
How far through the planning process are they at the moment? I see that the Auckland Council has got submissions up on their website where people can submit to the planning.
Yes.
Or proposed plans.
So that's where we're up to now. Submissions close next Monday, 5 p.m. And we encourage everybody to submit, even if it's just a couple of lines to say what the bush means to them. Or if you've walked Clark Bush before, Clark Bush track. They don't have to be long. It's pretty nuts, but all the documentation is 2,028 pages, and trying to get through that in 20 working days is quite impossible for the average person. So we've got our own submission on Toko, and if anyone wants to join on to our submission, they can. And that's got all the key issues outlined in that as well. Tina's really involved in all the ecology of surveying the land, and we're really delighted to find out that a brand new insect has been discovered there.
Wow.
And we hope that can get some attention because, you know, it's brand new, it's never been studied, and it's with Auckland Museum at the moment being photographed.
I guess it's hard because if you could almost, you know, you can say if they've sort of planned 40 years ahead of time for what they're doing now, but how, it's interesting, like, how is this new situation that they're building gonna, why does it need to take up so much room? Like, you guys finding that you're running out of water up there somewhere, or what are they improving on?
So it's going to get like marginally more water.
Right.
So it's not much gain. It's really replacing the existing infrastructure, which is on the site next door.
But they can't just do that in a small scale. It has to be...
Okay. Apparently not. Yeah. Apparently they can't build on the existing site.
Okay.
So, you know, we're cool with having a water treatment plant in our neighbourhood. We've got two already. We've got one at the top of the road, which is like a derelict building that's falling down, and the current one. And by all accounts, they've been pretty good neighbours over the years. Mm. But, you know, it's certainly not a NIMBY issue. We just want the best outcome for the environment.
Tina, just tell us a little bit about your background and the work you've done in the bush around the area.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm an environmental ecologist, so my own job is I do the restoration maintenance of different bush and stream areas. So I've done a few, I've been involved with some of the surveys there with identifying different species of trees. I think it was up to 155 I identified and put it all, photographed and put everything onto iNaturalist, which our group set up, just to record, you know, everything that was special living in that forest, because it is an endangered Kodi podocarp forest. And, I mean, it's a significant ecological area that we're in. So, and with the bush that we're trying to save, it's one out of a small amount that meets the highest all five that, you know, criteria that classes that bush area. So it's quite significant, and it just goes against the grain with the work I do, that I look after a small, you know, immature bush. To get to that stage, it just doesn't make sense. You know,
just on the Kodi, is that is most of the Kodi in there in good nick, doesn't have any of the dieback and stuff, or
no?
So it's like, that's totally crazy then.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, like a targeted rate we're paying for the, you know, the Kodi dieback disease and all the research, yet they're going to fell healthy Kodi trees.
That's crazy.
And another thing is, in the reports, was they'd counted all the big Kodi trees in the forest on both sides. There's the reservoirs that they're going to destroy other forests opposite the new treatment plant. So they've counted everything over greater than 20 centimetres in diameter, but everything underneath is going to be gone.
That's quite big, yeah.
Yeah.
How old would that tree be?
Well, that's
quite old, eh? Can vary.
Yeah, it can vary in size and I mean, in the growth conditions. So a lot of them are 200 plus years old. And then we've got the two oldest Kodi trees in Auckland. We've got Clark's Bush Kodi, and that's about 1,000 years plus.
Right.
And that's it's going to be 100 metres away from the footprint. So there's a big concern, there's a major concern for us for the Kodi dieback disease to spread. I mean, those old and mature trees, there's the edge effects, so they're going to be severely impacted through excavation, soil, the spread of that disease, and even through the streams, because it can travel through water. And as far as we can see, they just haven't got the, you know, the SOPs, council call, it's the safety operation procedures to handle that, because it's on a huge scale, you know.
Okay. So I know we do, BFM, there's quite a large contingency of BFM listeners out west.
Westies.
I'm sure that this will be pricking their ears up. So how much time have we got for submissions? And like, and so this way we can kind of piggyback off the submission you guys are doing. Does that count as doing your own submission as well? Like,
it's always good if you can do your own submission, but if you really don't have any time, then you can go to toco.org, which is hosted by Greenpeace, and you can sign on to our submission. And if you put in the keyword HUIA, H-U-I-A, then it will come up at the top, and you can sign on and you can see a list of all of our submission points. That's a top line of our main submission points.
Right on. Good on you for all the mahi, guys. Well done.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners. Go to krafthomes.co.nz.